Hey everybody, it's Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there between the demo and the ready room in the Grove. You can head over there Friday. They have an all new music happy hour going on. Free Four Hands brewery, beer for those of age. 10% off any purchase. And you can pick up some new vinyl from Walls of Jericho, Greg Allman, Jeff Healey, Black Rain, Yo Gotti, RJD2, Bob Mold, Big Star, White Denim, and Ike and Tina Turner, and a whole lot more. Also, this Saturday, the 26th, there will be a live in-store and EP listening party from the Trophy Mules. So come out Friday, Saturday. They got all kinds of fun stuff going on. And find more information about all that on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, it's Gavin.
Hey, this is Dylan.
From the Daisy ad, and you are listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 193. This is Swansea? Is
that Swansea, Illinois?
Swansea, Illinois. Yeah, hanging out with the guys of the Daisy Ad. Or like a two fifth or four?
Yeah, it's 2 of 4.
All right, half of the band then.
Yeah,
yeah. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name's Dylan Dowdy. Gavin and I played in several bands together, and just kind of this is a new project that we're getting going, and
yeah.
I'm pretty excited to get started.
And I'm Gavin. Daisy Ad is a new project that Dylan and I have been working on, so very excited to have the opportunity to speak with Shane.
Yeah, this is very exciting. I haven't seen the Daisy ad yet, but I did, I guess we, I first saw Gavin with, Parlor Nights a little bit ago with, Brother Lee and Monk over in Belleville. My pictures, I saw you perform that night, and then, I don't know. It might have been around that time we kind of got started talking a little bit, and then you guys did a loft sessions. I saw that come up, and then anyway, we've been talking and becoming buddies over the last couple months, and it all leading up to today, getting me over here and stuff. So this is it's been a lot of fun, you know. So I'm excited to get to sit down and talk to you guys, get to know you guys a little better, get to know about Daisy Ed and what you guys are all about. I wanted to, can we talk about last night?
Sure.
Yeah. So last night you guys, were involved in, David Bowie, tribute show.
Yep. Yeah, it was a Bowie tribute show at Off Broadway. It was a phenomenal time.
Yeah. With you had, Brian McClelland and, was with, Karate Bikini.
Oh yeah.
And, Jimmy Griffin.
Yeah, Jimmy Griffin was definitely there rocking the guitar.
That dude's he's a bad dude, man.
Yeah, he had a badass band with him, too.
Yeah. What was that? What was the band name? Do you remember?
I think he might have just pulled a lot of guys together and kind of created a band for this event.
That's what he did.
Yeah. I saw there was some kind of name. I don't know. Somebody shared a name of Jimmy and something or whatever. So they had... I don't know.
Jimmy the Bug Chasers? I'm not sure. Yeah. I know the bass player, Maddie. I talked to him quite a bit last night. Super nice guy. He was from... I believe he was from Bug Chaser.
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, So you are you have the blonde hair going yeah, now.
It's definitely out of my comfort zone. That's for sure.
So you just really commit to the role, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at David Bowie is people, like, when you're a kid or something, you see him, you're like, man, that he's kind of a strange guy, right? But from, like, the artist perspective, he recreated himself so many times. He wrote great music. He wrote great lyrics. He had fantastic music, like, musical skills. Like, he composed that music, most of it, you know what I mean? So, like, Life on Mars, like, that's just a crazy song. So the fact that I could, for one night, commit to celebrating somebody that did that, I wanted to give what I would want if I were gone.
Yeah.
I would want, if people really appreciated what I did, I'd want them to kind of do what they did to reach that place, whatever that place is.
Right. Did you guys all, like, pick out certain songs you wanted to do, or how'd you guys approach the sets and stuff?
So before the show got, like, set up, really, John Henry, who's the talent buyer at Off Broadway, also great musician. He just got to play for the Bernie Sanders rally.
Yeah.
Incredible. But nonetheless, John sent out an email and said, hey, here's all the songs. Karate Bikini and Brian McClelland picked out a lot of great songs that they had already done for Undercover Weekend. But there was like five songs I saw in there. I was like, dude, we gotta get those songs. Because they're like some of the best songs. So we got to do China Girl, Fame, Rebel Rebel, Starman, and Heroes. And those are some great songs, you know what I mean? So
Man, that sounds fun.
It was literally packed wall to wall. It was one of the best times I've ever had, ever.
And then I guess they're doing another one at Ready Room, like, this week or something?
Yeah, it's this Friday. I know that there's a lot of bands, so I know, like, the Karate Bikini set won't be as long as the one they did last night, which it was great. But I'm sure that'll be fantastic as well at the Ready Room. It's a nice sized venue. And
sure.
I know a lot of other local talent that's on that bill, so I'm sure it'll be good.
So, you kind of touched on it, meaning that Bowie meant a lot to you, but, I mean, like, how'd you, was it your parents, or how did you get hooked on some Bowie stuff?
I think, so, this was like 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I was watching this show on Netflix called Life on Mars. It was just like a drama. It had one season. It was really weird about this guy that goes back in time. It was so cool. But the song at the beginning, I was like, that sounds like David Bowie. Turns out it was. And I already knew, like, Changes and Let's Dance, like all those songs you grew up listening to. But when I heard Life on Mars on that show, I really dug into the catalog. And just the depth. Like, there's just so many odd things about the man, which I read about. Like, he didn't decide to cross-dress until his wife told him to do it. Like, that wasn't a natural thing for him to do, but taking the advice of his wife literally probably made him an icon, which is bizarre, because he was getting fruit thrown at him and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, everybody thinks he's so weird. Well, he is a weird guy, which, an admirably weird guy, who owned it. He's not, like, I mean, he was very smart. Mm-hmm. He was very smart. He marketed a brand that is, nobody can touch that brand. You know right. what I mean? I'm rambling.
Oh no, that's what that's what these are great for, man. I love just, you know, hearing the stories and everything else. But he and I've never been like a huge on him. I mean, I I like is some of his stuff. I don't really know a lot of the, like I said, the deep cuts, the catalog, the rest of the catalog.
I'll just send you a list of like the songs that Shane Presley needs to listen to because there are some, let me tell you.
Yeah, but I do like, I thought he was always an interesting guy, and I was like, there was like some, after he passed, you know, I'm a big Conan fan, and they showed a bunch of clips of him on over the years going on the Late Show with Conan and stuff, and like, and just seeing that was like really cool, because I don't remember watching those whenever they aired originally, but going back and seeing these clips and things, and like seeing him as like the person he, you know, and like not, you know, he was always a character in a sense, but like, you know, but his stage persona compared to what him sitting on the couch talking to Conan was.
He's just a guy, man.
Yeah.
Or was just a guy, yeah. Right.
But it was like, it was really interesting, and like, and just, he was really funny with all the stuff, and just, anyway, it was cool. Like, and like I said, so I'm kind of, you know, disappointed that I didn't get to know more about him when he was still around. But, you know, that's the beautiful thing about music and everything else, and that's going to live on forever. And
it know, will. So it's truly incredible.
Yeah.
Last night, we played with a band called Melody Den, who started the night out fantastic. We got to play second. A lot of fun. Jimmy Griffin was next. Fantastic. I mean, first time I played with the guy. Super humble, super friendly. I love that he like took charge at the show.
Led the whole setup of everything.
He led it, but he was so like he wasn't abrasive. He was just like, "You ready to go, man? Let's do it. Like let's make it happen." But in the musicianship, he had some sax players. He had two backup singers. He had a keyboard player. This guy killed the Life on Mars piano intro. His drummer was incredible, and then. Closing out the night was Karate Bikini with Brian McClellan. They played two extra songs. Brian had me help him like change wardrobe in the middle of the set because he came out with his cosmonaut helmet on.
Yeah.
It was so cool, and I had to like pull it off of his head, and I got to control like the smoke machine behind the drum kit. Like if you like the smoke, that was all me. I was just like, he's like, hit the manual if you want. And I was like, yes. So I would like hit it on beat. And then Mick was there. From Woe Thunder, he was doing bongos. It was insanely good. They had like a flute, they had a sax player, insane. And then at the end of the night, this is the coolest thing. All of us got back on stage and we played a song called "All the Young Dudes," which was made popular by Mott the Hoople, but it was written by David Bowie. And I got to play on stage with Jimmy Griffin, and me and Brian were switching off lead vocals. And like just the energy, man. Yeah. It was insane.
I love that. Like you know, one. I mean, all the show sounds great, but like I love when that moment, though, like the jam at the end of the night, kind of thing, or whatever it might be. But that's something. That's a treat for that moment that night. You know, like it's hard. It'd probably be rare to get all of you all in the same room again.
Right.
You know, to do it. So it's like, and I love that kind of that. Just I said, just you know, that energy that builds up to that moment where you all these great musicians on the stage at the same time, and like those are always just really cool moments. I've been working with Coco. He plays in a band called Fivefold, and they've been doing this We Are United shows, and it's a big message, you know, and I believe in it, trying to just bring the whole community back together, with the musicians, and usually every show is paired with some kind of a good cause, like this next one I think is a suicide prevention, and so like some of the money raised portion of the ticket sales go to, you know, the different causes, but anyway, he's been doing the shows and he wants to do these things, and I was like, we ought to do some kind of, you know, we have all these musicians in the house. Let's do some cool jam kind of thing, whatever it is, even if a couple of cover songs or something like that, you know, just be, make it an unique experience like that. So, but anyway, I love that kind of stuff though.
That's why I appreciate you, man, because you're dedicated to the cause. You're You got all heart, man. You got all the heart. It's very admirable.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah,
I'm just a huge fan. I'm trying to make something cool happen here. You know, hustling, trying to shine a little light on all my friends in the community, and I think together, which is, I mean, it's already, not that it's all me, but I do feel like, partly from the show and a lot of other people with a similar idea, that we have a lot of people working together that weren't working together, you know, a year ago and stuff like that. There's a lot of the cool things that are happening. You know, people are coming together and you know, I hear quite a bit people are like, oh, you know, I had no idea about this band until, you know, you said something about them and stuff like so. That's what it's all about. Like, we don't, I'm just trying to, you know, like I said, shine a little light on everything, so.
And that's the only way that you'll be able to have an impact on any level, whether you're a band, whether you're a fan that's trying to create a movement, being part of the community and being present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a, that's what we love to do, is listen to music. So why are you not part of it? Like, that's what I think in my brain, like, towards, you know, people that have the attitude that they shouldn't be around. Like, you need to be present. You need to have passion. You need to believe in it. Those people, like, that's their heart and soul, man. Those songs, those are very vulnerable places of who they are, whether it's talking about a deep emotion or whether it's talking about, hey, that chick's super hot, I'm going to write a song about it. That's revealing something, you know? It's revealing what you think and feel, and it takes a lot for somebody to say, I believe in this enough to put it out there. So having people like Shane, like you, is completely humbling to know that there's like people like you, people like Drew Schaefer, you know, people like Neil Luke, people like Zach Gibbons, you know, people like the Jackals, just people that are invested, you know what I mean? Like, it's just nice to know about that, you know. I'm doing a lot of the talking here. People like Bobby Stevens too. Just wanted to say that one more time.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Bobby's a good dude.
And you know, talking about those guys, Neil C. Luke and Bobby E. Stevens, they've been doing this thing called STL Here and Now in South City.
Okay.
And they do it at this bar called the Blue Pearl on Cherokee. It's a very small bar, but their thing that they're trying to do is to make St. Louis singer-songwriters, bands, whatever, like, accessible to the general population. They've been getting together with Zach Gibbons and with his studio. I think it's called Loud House. I know that he's working with this new Gaslight thing, but with Loud House, and they like get these guys to go upstairs and contribute songs to this compilation they're going to release to kind of showcase the talent that we have in St. Louis. I know a lot of people have contributed. I'm not leading that project, so I don't know the people exactly, but I know that that Zach is putting work into that, which is amazing. I know that Neil and Bobby are putting work into that, which was amazing. I'm sure the Jackals are related in some way. The Wilderness, and Daniel, that's in the Wilderness with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is amazing. Zach Gibbons and I were talking one night at the Blue Pearl, and he's like, I was like, dude, I just love South City. I love this. I like being here. And he's like, well, it's called STL Here and Now.
Yeah.
And he said, have you heard the folklore about South City? And I said, no, I haven't. And he's like, there's fucking rivers of like musical consciousness and creative consciousness that run under the city, under Cherokee Street. And, you know, while that's, you know, definitely cool to think about, you know, in a creative way, it does make sense to a certain, like, it just feels right there, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Very cool to check that out.
Yeah, it's I know Drew Schaefer, I think, is involved with it too. It's the best thing for the community.
Yeah. I'm working on getting all those guys. Bobby's, I'm trying to get a Wilderness episode going.
It's great dudes. Great group of dudes.
Yeah. I kind of did a little... They set in on the Brother Lee one.
Yeah, I listened to that. That shit was funny.
Yeah. but I'm hoping to have an episode for them by themselves. And trying to get Neil with Old Souls on here. And it'd be cool to talk to Zach, too. And all those guys would be... I'm working my way around town trying to get them all on the show. But what I was saying is Jimmy's been on the show.
Really?
Yeah, we recorded at Killer Vintage Guitars where he... I guess he works there some hours and stuff, and it was just really cool to, I mean, I'm a huge fan of El Monstero stuff he does, and the Incurables, and I mean, a lot of his projects, and actually I went back and even looked at some of, like, the King of the Hill stuff, one of his, like, early bands with George Pazos and... Frankie from Dr. Chevegas.
I had no idea.
I didn't know they were connected either.
Dylan's other band, Search Parties, their two newest songs that they put out, it was recorded by Frankie, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's got kind of a little private studio over in the hill, and we went in there and did a few songs.
Yeah, well, that, if you go YouTube King of the Hill and...
I actually, there was a big poster in the bathroom of his studio, and it was pretty funny.
I mean, this is like late 80s, early 90s, right, around like, you know, they all had the big hair, the looked like Poison or something, you know, like they, Jimmy's a incredibly nice guy and super talented musician. And,
don't find that often.
Yeah.
And,
you know, and the fact that he's, I believe he's, you know, from the area and he stayed here and stuff. So like, So that's what's cool. A lot of these guys, like pretty much all those guys from El Monstero, they're all St. Louis, you know, guys. And it's just cool that they still, you know, they've been at it for a long time and they still support their community like that. And like
he looks like he could be in the Black Rose.
Sure,
he's such a cool looking dude.
Yeah. Let's get into some stuff about the Daisy Ed. How did we come about starting this project?
As we stated earlier, we had Parlor Nights. Things were going well there. Had a falling out with Parlor Nights. A few of us joined another band, and we've been working on those projects. But, you know, myself, I know Gavin was working on several projects of his own, mostly his own solo stuff. But he came to me, and him and I kind of started jamming. Just on the side, and things started developing, and now we've been slowly adding in new musicians and you know, getting practices going, and the songs are turning out great, and we're really excited about it.
Dylan is somebody that's been consistent and always wanted to create music, so we just have an understanding. We can write together. We don't ever feel like his input is valuable to me, and my input's valuable to him. It's just it's a trust thing. And it, when you play with somebody for so long, for I guess we've been playing for 6 years, about 6 years together, you just kind of find that place, you know. And our sensibilities are pretty. Dylan kind of knows. Like, he lets me do what I do, and I let him do what he does. So, the Daisy Ad kind of is birthed out of a musical partnership between him and I. That's the best way that I could describe it. We're jamming with some dudes, and that's gonna kind of roll along. But what were you gonna say?
It's a fairly new project, then, right? And so, about a year or something.
Roughly about a year, in and out. Mm-hmm. But I think in the past 4 months, it's pretty much been a good focus. I think we're invested. There was a time last year that we kind of didn't play or jam for, I mean, months. But yeah, it's just as a creator. As a writer, as a musician, you can't not do it. Like you're forced to do it. Mm-hmm. And those few months that we kind of stopped jamming, it was like, I'm sure other musicians feel this way, but I just felt like shit, man. Like, I'm in a great relationship with my wife, but you know, as a musician, you need the, you know, that side of things, and sure. you also need your music. It's just like this fucking need. I don't even know how else to describe it, to be honest with you. And since we kind of got back on board, man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm ready to be part of the community. I love that other people are as passionate about their shit as we are.
Yeah.
That is the most exciting thing to me, to be honest. And to know that there are bands like, you know, Search Parties that are great. There are bands like Brotherly and the Leather Jackals that are great. There are people, you know, like Old Souls Revival that are great. There are bands that are great. And you can be a part of that as long as you invest in those people. And like, Woe Thunder, they're great. Like, as long as you invest in those people and give them the attention they deserve, then I think that long term, you know, they might think of you as somebody that they want to support. You know, I've been meaning to get out to a Wilderness show. I saw them the last time at the Jackals and the Old Souls Revival CD release party, and their energy is just off the hook, man. It's just like, it's all here.
Yeah.
You know, I live in Illinois, but my heart is in the city, man.
Sure.
I
live 45 minutes outside of the town, so I'm always, but I'm downtown all the time. And but yeah, that's you know, there's a crazy amount of talent.
We have Monk too. Yeah. I know he's living in Portland, but dude, like, that guy's all soul.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. That guy Monk is crazy talented guy, man. He's really a lot of fun to watch. Whether he's playing full band or solo or anything he's a part of, he's really, really great. Been on twice.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've listened to the one. It was hilarious because you had Matt McElrath mm-hmm. on there with him and yeah. Nick Adamson, right?
Yep.
Great
yeah.
dudes.
Yeah, that one was really fun. Yeah, the first one was a lot more serious with Monk. Like, we actually kind of get into, you know, him and songwriting and everything else. And but since we kind of had the introduction one out of the way, then the second one we just got silly and had a good time and.
Yeah,
talked about Wayne's World and everything else. And,
yeah, I heard that shit. It was funny.
Space Jam. So
not to get off topic, but anyways, yeah. continue. So that's where we're at with the Daisy Ad, right?
Mm-hmm.
What?
So you guys are thinking? You said maybe having a release sometime this year.
It's probably going to be in the summer sometime. I assume, knowing myself, I'm very urgent is the word I could use for myself. I would like it to be like in the beginning of June. Then I think that's a pretty conservative amount of time, because we already have about, well, Dylan and I have about 6 songs, but we have about 4 really good songs that I think could go on an EP. Probably like we could record them tomorrow, honestly. But yeah. That EP, I wanna release it very soon. Like, I wanna have an EP release party probably in June. If there are any bands that are listening to this and want to team up to do some cool stuff, please feel free to contact me.
Yeah. Where do you have an idea where you wanna record, or
we have 2 places in mind.
Yeah.
Dylan and I are very familiar with a couple people that own studios, so I don't know where we're going to land on that. However, there's a lot of great talent in the St. Louis area for recording. But we have a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Well, cool. That'd be exciting. Well, so I mentioned you guys did the Loft Sessions.
Yeah.
And those videos are available on the YouTube Lost Sessions, Media Outlaws channel, and I'll probably link them up on the...
link them up.
And everything, but... well, I guess... so, people that have heard those three songs, are those three that might make the cut?
One for sure. Let Down will be recorded. The last song, Home, is a very good song, and that'll probably get recorded at some point. I don't know if it'll be on this one. It might. But... Wonder probably won't make the cut, so that'll be like a Loft Sessions exclusive.
Okay.
What I will say, though, is Matt McElrath, man, the guy's just like you, all heart. He's in there doing that for the community with Nick and his team, Brad, right? Yeah. And they're just dedicated, and he doesn't have to do that. You don't have to do this. You don't have to help anybody. But, like, had those videos not been available... all of my friends that I've known for years wouldn't have said, hey, I just saw you had a new band out with you know, like with Dylan and Danny and Chris. That's crazy. Awesome, man. Like, that would have never happened had it not been for those videos. And, you know, another thing is last night, I didn't end up using the GoPro, but he let me borrow his GoPro. Like, he's just a solid dude.
Yeah.
Like, you don't find that. Like, somebody dedicated to the cause. And that's a shout-out for Matt McElrath. If you guys are not familiar with the Loft Sessions, we did a Loft Sessions with the Daisy ad, which is great. However, there are like 100 other episodes, right?
Yeah. I think last week or something, he released their 100th episode, 100th video, and it was with the Jeremiah Johnson band.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they, I guess, pretty much three videos for each band, and then some of the... best talent all around town, man. It's Steve Ewing just did one a bit ago, which was really great. And but yeah, I agree. That's why I invited him on the show, because again, you know, I want to support, and these guys, we have very similar message, even though theirs is more video and I'm
the audio.
Yeah, but we, you know, we're both working on a similar thing, and I want to, you know, help them out as much as I want to help out the other bands, because I feel like, you know, let other, these people making cool video, and we're all a part of it. You know, there's, it's not just the singers and the songwriters and all these people making the music. There's, you got your sound guys, you got your, you know, recording engineers.
It's all about the team, man.
Yeah.
It's not about you as an individual ever. It's all about the team. It's all about those people that are, like, Bart, the sound guy last night was phenomenal. Yeah. You know, it's about you know, the Shane Presleys, the Matt McElraths, you know, those guys that are, none of this and all would be meaningful without those people, without you. All
right.
And it gets to me, man.
Thanks, like, buddy.
It gets to me. So,
so you guys, so this has been only, like I said, about a year, but how long have you guys, it's about 6 years you guys have been playing together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, just going back quite a ways there.
Yeah.
How'd you guys come about meeting? Is it through the band or?
I used to play in a band, Tonight at 7, that broke up, I guess, about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And then a few members of that band joined up with Gavin, and we started Parlor Nights.
Yeah.
I guess it was No Parlor.
It was me, Alex, and OB.
Right. So the rhythm section of Tonight at 7 plus Gavin did a trio for a little while, and then a few of the other folks kind of joined in, and Parlor Nights had a good run. We played a lot of great shows.
Yeah.
I
opened up for a lot of big acts. We played the Pageant once.
Twice. We played with Nick Men.
Oh, yeah.
Played the Pageant twice.
We backed... the guys from Doorway
did
a live thing for those guys, so that was a lot of fun too. So,
I talked to Queens Boulevard. They just opened up that Dr. Chavegas show, the 20th anniversary or something at the Pageant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I know their guitar player Ethan, great dude. Yeah. Continue.
We talked to them, and like we had a. Talking to them about just playing the Pageant, being on that stage, and like the sold out crowd, and
best
like
sound in St. Louis, man.
And just playing that venue is just even so much greater than just going to a show at that venue. I mean, the people there, the staff, it's phenomenal.
I did one of these with Kevin Gagnepain of El Monstero. Like, I think we sat down to record. It was like 6:30, and the show started at 8:00, and we were in the production office there at the pageant backstage, and like, I don't know, it was just crazy exciting just to be backstage right before the show, you know. You and like I said, when we were recording in there for, you know, whatever, 40 minutes or something like that probably, and you know, and then we come out and he's got to go get dressed and hit the stage and all this stuff, and it was just exciting times, like to be involved in that, and like, and but I don't know. So I've never actually been on the stage. That was as close as I got to was being backstage there with those
guys.
It's
so rad that you got to be back there.
Yeah.
Because it's a super rad place.
Definitely.
It's definitely my favorite venue in St. Louis, that's for sure. And the sound's always good. I see most of my favorite bands there. I got to see Father John Misty there, Dawes there, Bright Eyes there. I've seen...
My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, like a few years ago. Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I've seen OAR there. OAR, by the way, is a great band. Everybody can hate if they want. They're a phenomenal live band. Yeah. Who else? Death Cab for Cutie, twice. Mm-hmm. Saw them there. Seen Good Old War there. I've seen number countless. I saw Slayer there in 2003. That was a pretty good show.
I'm gonna go see Bone Thugs tomorrow.
See you with the Crossroads.
It's their 20th anniversary tour, so that's pretty crazy. And I'm excited to see what they do over next door with Del Mar Hall opening up. Yeah, so.
Smaller venue.
Joe Edwards, man, he's another dude that is dedicated. Yeah. Like he had. I feel like he's a great leader because he had a vision for what he wanted St. Louis to be, and he made it fucking happen. He did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, that's that dude, just the dude.
Yeah, I reached out. Tried to email him. I don't have his personal email or anything, but like I reached out through Blueberry Hills page and stuff, and like tried to just get people to forward my email onto him, and was trying to get him on the show because the guy is
he's a legend in St. Louis for sure,
definitely. But I thought it'd be I'm approaching the 200th episode, and I thought that would be cool to have a big make a big deal out of it and get a guest like Joe or somebody. And it didn't work out this time, but hopefully I'll get him on the show soon. I just thought it'd be fun to talk about Del Mar Hall and then the trolley and all the other things he's a part of in the loop there. One of these days.
Sorry. I'm the kind of guy that needs to be back on track. This is our nature. So Dylan finished up with talking about Parlor Nights.
Yeah.
Parlor Nights formed. It was amazing. And then our bass player at the time passed away. And that was really tough on everybody. And then we had the amazing talent of Chris Garner join the band. And he was very valiant, I guess that's the word. About taking that role in the band, and then we wrote the album that is on available now called From the Muses. It's 9 songs. Very proud of that work. I think that was the best work we did.
Yeah.
And then our bass player, Ben, what was his name? OB. It's one of our best friends. It's pretty tough to even talk about. Then after that, Parlor Nights disbanded. I did I have a solo record available online under Gavin M. And you know what, man? And then while it's fun to be in control of everything, because everybody wants to be, you want to control what you have. I lost all the fun in playing music when I played by myself. Like, I'm going to write songs, right? But I missed playing with Dylan, who's one of my best friends. I missed playing with, Chris Garner or Danny Nugent, who was playing lead guitar, in those videos. And then Chris Garner was playing bass in those videos. He's also in a few other bands called Family Medicine. They're a local band. And then Search Parties with Dylan. but I lost the fun, man. And I had this, like, it was like a like a spiritual awakening to a certain extent. Because and what I mean by that is that I was doing music, and it was so self-centered. And what I kind of learned through that tribulation, I guess you could say, was I was here by myself, blocking out everybody, being selfish. And all the great shit happens in a group. It happens in a band. It happens away from your ego. It happens away from that place. And once I kind of went through that tribulation or whatever, and Dylan was awesome enough to want to still play with me, I think this material will probably be the best material that I've been a part of. Because Dylan's writing as well as I'm writing. It's not just me writing. Mm-hmm. It's not just Dylan writing. We have... we're jamming with Ryan Jeffries right now. He was the drummer in the Murs. Fantastic drummer. Never misses a beat. And Chris Garner's been jamming bass with us for now. And them as a rhythm section, but with Dylan and I kind of as the like the harmonic part of the band. It's the sounds great. Very proud of it. Very, very confident with it too. Just can't wait till we can get in and get the tracks recorded. Mm-hmm. It's when you find that, man, don't let it go. Yeah. Like, you only live life for so long. You gotta do what you want to do. You gotta do what makes you happy. And by happy, I don't mean fucking butterflies and sugar cane or candy canes. I mean, like, what do you wake up wanting to do? I'm sure Shane wakes up and you're like, man, I want to do a podcast. Or you're like, I need to talk to this band. Like, that hunger that you have. I have that with this band.
Yeah.
What were you going to...
I was going to ask about, like, the sound. Like, you guys, how would you describe what you guys are going for here? To those that haven't seen the videos yet and stuff.
It's rock. It's rock and roll. It's a rock band. I could say that. I could say Parlor Nights was probably a pop band. Like a pop rock band. But I would say this band is a rock band. I've gotten out of my comfort zone a lot as a writer. I used to be like a craftsman. I'm still a craftsman of sorts, like the Paul McCartney mind. I'm not comparing myself to Paul McCartney. But like the style of writing. But I'm trying to add some, I want to add some edge to it, and I want to add some stuff I would never actually do, like, if I was thinking about it. Like, I would kind of consider to be like melodic rock music with a stellar keyboard player and a stellar drummer and bass player and a pretty decent guitar player singer. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. You said you wanted to put some tunes on here for the people.
Yeah.
And you said Let Down.
Let Down, for sure.
So let's talk about that song.
Yeah.
Any stories behind that one?
So lyrically, I'll kind of tell you what it's about. I kind of, in my past, have written all these pretty songs, like these love songs, if you will. And now that I'm married, you know, I don't go through any of those longing love song, like love feelings anymore, because I'm content. But what I've liked to do is to write stories about characters or pieces of my personality that are over exaggerated or something like that. So this song is about the loss of innocence. The song's just about a guy screwing over a girl. Mm-hmm. That's it. He was attracted to her. He wanted her. He had her. And he let her down. That was it. And it's so shallow, but I kind of liked that it was. I kind of liked that there was... Because that happens every day. That happens to people. People do that to people. You know, you might think you're crazy about somebody, but then when you sleep with them, you're like, oh, well, that's about enough. You know? And that's what that song's about. Yeah. And it was about a character that I created.
I bring him up a lot, but he's just one of my favorite writers. But there's a guy, Will Hoag.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, for sure. He's an incredible performer, and but he, you know, he's one of my favorite like storytellers on stage too. Along with just you know great music and everything, he has a way of in a show to talk about the stories that led up to these songs and all this stuff, but he's got, you know, he's got songs about cheating and all the other stuff, whatever. But people assume they're all, you know, like
autobiographical.
Yeah, and like they're like, he did that stuff or something, you know, because he'll like talk about his kids and his wife and family and things, and they'll go into a song about, you know, sleeping with some girl on the road or whatever, you know, and people think that that's true, and he's like, these are just stories, you know, they're all. These are just, you know.
Maybe I was attracted to her, but I didn't sleep with her, and I wrote a song about it anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like but that's the thing is, you know, music can, it doesn't have to, you know, there are those songs that are true stories.
Movies are stories.
Right.
It's just like art. It's just like songs. That's what movies are. Yeah. You know? They're stories.
For sure. Yeah. What that would be and that's for me too. Like, you know, music and movies, like. There's so many iconic movie scenes that I immediately think of the songs. You know, they go, those visual goes hand in hand a lot. Dazed and Confused, you know, like I can't hear Sweet Emotion and not think of a car so burning out.
The Chevelle, man. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Stuff like that. I mean, there's just those moments like that. But I don't know. It would be cool to get yourself on a soundtrack or something like that. That would be
be awesome.
I don't know. I think about that stuff. Like when I there's some music I hear and I'm like, man, you know, like we talked about Brother Lee and stuff.
Fantastic.
Like I listen to some of their stuff on that new EP and I'm like, man, this would be an awesome, like in a Tarantino movie or something. Like,
so much growth. Yeah. So much growth. Dylan and I have known Josh for 6 years, mm-hmm. probably. Like, and Josh used to come watch us play at parlor nights, you know? And I tell Josh this every time I see him. And he's so humble and nice. You know, Josh is just the nicest guy. But so much growth from him as he used to be a bass player. He taught himself how to play guitar. And all these songs, man, are good. Like, Dylan and I have known Danny for 10 years, probably. But all the songs are just so good, and they're such a good band, and they're so dedicated. Yeah. All of them. I mean, you know, Sean, Buddy, Danny, Josh, they're just a great group of dudes, dedicated, bought in, feeling it, making it a reality, not accepting status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the end of that song, one more thing. Dylan's trumpet, though, on it. If you watch these videos online, the trumpet makes the song.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like, the lyrics are cool, and the rhythmic guitar is cool, but Dylan, his trumpet makes that song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I love when throwing some horns and stuff, and especially for that particular set of songs, you know, like, that's the only one played trumpet on, right?
Yep.
So it kind of helps... just kind of set it apart, you know, from, mm-hmm. and that's the, like, you know, you listen to an album, and there's times where, you know, a lot of the can start to sound similar and things, and it's nice to have throwing a trumpet or some different instrumentation and stuff, and to make it sound a little more different than the rest of the stuff, and, like, just to stand out and things, and mm-hmm. I love when, I was talking about it the other night, but, like, how, you know, you read through like the liner notes on an album and all the different things that were used. Like there's this guy Lincoln Durham, and like, you know, he uses a lot of random, like there was like a credit, like a cardboard box you know, and on stuff like that. So like, just kind of wherever you can find the right sound and things like, you know, that you're looking for. Yeah, he also plays a suitcase on stage, like, and
I think I've seen that guy somewhere.
Oh, or something. He's a bad dude, man. He gets out there. He's like, he uses essentially like a drum, but just that. But it's that visual too of him just like slamming this suitcase it's really exciting. But it has that right thump and it's not overpowering and all this stuff. But anyway, I just think that's, you know, like I said, the horn's not obviously very strange to throw on there, but just that having these different instruments to be able, you know, having in your arsenal of weapons, you know. So
yeah, I mean, Parlor Nights, I only played horn and then piano on one song, so I'm excited to get down and play a little bit more piano, but then it's always nice to just throw it back in every now and then if it calls for it.
You know that Dylan, it comes from a legacy of keyboard players, right?
No, I did not. No.
Dylan's uncle is the keyboard player for REO Speedwagon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So the talent's in his blood. Neil Dowdy. Yeah. Neil Dowdy. That's Dylan's uncle from Bovo.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, we're not just a hole in the map. We're not just a spot on the map. they're cool people from Belleville.
Yeah.
They're Swansea. Yeah. So that song's really cool. The other song, Home, that's on there that I would encourage people to watch and listen to, Dylan wrote the chord progression for entirely by himself. He writes all these, like, you have like probably 100 of these small songs. He just sits down in his beat lab, quote unquote beat lab, and he writes these tunes and he writes all the parts. Majority of the time we don't use all the parts, but on that one we really liked that one. Kind of slowed it down a little bit and I added some words.
We even changed it to a 3/4 timing instead of 4/4.
Yep.
But yeah, quarterly. I think you might have wrote the chorus too on that, but it came together. I mean, it kind of started with a little project in my basement and then it turns into a song, you know.
And it's a legit song. I really like watching that video back or listening to the music. It's such a, it really sounds good. And your organ sounds awesome on it, and the breakdown. The words, again, were a character created. It was about a homeless man that came back from war and was a veteran, but he was homeless. And the only way that he could be happy was to... actually, I'm going to rephrase this. When I lived in Belleville, in downtown Belleville, I lived in an apartment building down there on South Charles Street, which is right downtown. And there was this old man that had a bike, and he used to come down our alley and take the cans out of the trash bags to get money. That's how poor this guy was.
Yeah.
And I just created this story because we hear about this awful stuff of people coming back from war with PTSD, and it affects me because it's very, very sad. That people are, that happens to people for defending our country. But that's beyond the point. We don't need to get into that. But so I created this character that he lost his best friend in the war. He lost his right hand. Mm-hmm. He's a drunk now, and then he has to go down alleys and pick up cans and trade them in for cash. So those types of stories. Wouldn't you like to watch a movie about that? It would affect you, right?
Sure.
Why not write a song about it?
Yeah.
Luckily Dylan has such a sensibility for chord changes and a natural unlearned talent for just, you know, song structure that we're able to do this Daisyad, which also I will credit our band name to Danny Nugent because he created the band name, but the band name the Daisyad is based on the Daisy advertisement from the 60s when LBJ was in presidency. And it shows the little girl picking the petals off of the daisy, and then she's like counting them down, and then at the end, a atomic bomb goes off, and it was supposed to be a fear mongering ad to scare the American people into going back into war. That's what that was created for, and I credit it to Danny because that dude has from the Muses, the Parlor Nights album was Danny too, but it's such a brilliant juxtaposition, because when you see Daisy, people automatically think pretty or sunny or whatever. But Daisy Ad is the exact opposite. It's like what would happen at the apocalypse. So I like that.
Yeah.
Danny, it's Danny, but I like that he came up with it because it's a pretty badass name.
For sure. Well, guys, I guess we'll look to wrap this thing up. Put some tunes on here from the live audio from the loft sessions, so you can hear those. Hold you over till we get the proper release.
Yeah,
coming this summer.
We'll get together again, you think?
Definitely, yeah.
When that rolls around, do a little bit more chatting.
Yeah, I'd love that. We don't have any current shows on the calendar at the moment, but you can always, with the Facebook page, keep up to date there.
Keep up to date. I'm out and about in St. Louis all the time going to shows. I actually update that page in hopes, kind of what you do, you want to expose other artists and whatever. My goal with Daisy Ad is not only to create music, but we want to be able to be part of the community. So, you know, if you catch the Instagram or if you catch the Facebook, you'll be able to kind of see things you probably haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. Dylan and I have this kind of philosophy that we don't want to sell our beer before it's brewed,
right?
Kind of thing. So while we could easily play some shows because we have the songs together, we want it to be presented appropriately. We don't want to jump the gun. That's why we're trying to build relevancy by doing things like this with you, which we're very grateful for. We want to kind of build that momentum. By the time we do go to release in a few months, it won't be like, who the hell are they? Right. It'll be like, oh, those guys that we've heard the podcast from, and those guys that have the loft session videos, and, you know, those guys that we see at shows all the time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, great, another unknown band that nobody knows anything about. So,
yeah, I definitely, I think you're doing it right, man. My friend Gabe, he had a conversation with a friend, and he was kind of really down on himself for a while. He was, you know, putting a lot of work into his music and doing all this stuff. And he, you know, he's like, why aren't people coming out to my shows and stuff? And then he's like,
I feel it, man. I know how that feels.
And then his buddy says to him, like, well, do you go to the other people's shows? And he's like, no. And he's like, well, there you
ding,
go.
Ding.
And I'm like, yeah, you gotta, we, you know, you're out there hustling and working for everybody else. They're all going to support you in return. And so
it's about caring about other people.
Yeah.
It's that fucking simple.
Right. But I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, you gotta give a little to get a little. So I agree, man. So it's cool to see you out. Like, I mean, I ran into you at Foam the other night, the Brother Lee show.
The
and
Jackals,
stuff.
Man, that was rock and roll.
And but yeah, you know, so I think that's it's cool, man. It's cool to see when I get to hang with my friends at shows and stuff, and not when they're not playing and stuff. That's it's really cool to see. Just people supporting each other, so.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah. All right, well, so stick around for those songs. Head over to pull out your space phone and go over, like, the Daisy Ed on Facebook and Instagram. And keep an eye out. Maybe some tunes coming in the summer.
Oh, they'll be there.
Yeah. And they can, if the loft session audio, you said those are
on
Bandcamp.
The daisyad.bandcamp.com. They're downloadable. We're not charging for them because those were given to us for free. So we just want them to be there for people to reference our music and listen to it. The recordings sound awesome.
They send them off to be mastered and stuff and everything. So there's a lot of work that goes into those videos and the audio. The audio is just as important as all their camera angles and things and stuff. So the audio sounds great.
So those will hold people over. There's plenty of material there to get an idea. And if you really dig it, just stay connected. We will be releasing something in the summer ish, like hopefully June is what I'm projecting for. It's gonna be some rad shit, man.
Yeah. And if you want to play that show, reach out, say hey.
Yeah. We're open. We're open to venue ideas. We're open to band ideas. Do want to keep it to three bands. I hate bills when there's eight bands. I would like three good bands where the show starts a little early. That way we could have everybody can stay out and have a good time. And it's not this, well, the band's done, I'm leaving, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, hopefully we'll do another one gearing up for the release.
Yeah.
And everything. So thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you hanging out.
Thank you, Shane.
And this was a whole lot of fun. I will talk to you guys later.
Next song is called
home. Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.